never be a normal as it once was. I really pray that with all of my heart and with all of my strength. Turn into Acts chapter 9 here this morning. Acts chapter 9. And I want to continue on from where we were last week. Last week, we dealt with the power of regeneration. But this week, I want to continue on the same chapter and the same verses dealing with the continuation. That's why I said last week, don't take it as a message in itself. What I'm going to deal with this morning is so very important. My message this morning, the importance of the local church, the importance of the local church, reading from Acts chapter 9 and verse 8. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And came he hither not for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Let's pray here this morning. Father, I do pray that you speak to us, that you reveal to each one of us the absolute vital importance of the local church to all of those that are regenerate, born again, changed and indwelt by the Spirit of God. Father, I do thank you, God, that you didn't leave Saul of Tarsus in his blindness, in his loneliness, in his isolation, in the confusion of his thoughts. My God, you sent a man, you sent a certain disciple, you sent a born again believer, a brother in Christ, to lay hands upon him, my God, and to say, brother Saul, my God, what a miracle the body of Christ is. Thank you that you operate through the body, that you place us in a body, that you send good brothers and sisters unto us to minister healing, to minister the Spirit, to minister the things of God. And Father, I do thank you that you surrounded Saul of Tarsus with the right people at the right time to minister the right thing, Lord God, to prepare him as a chosen vessel unto the Lord. Father, speak to us this morning. Lord God, make it beautiful, the body of Christ that you have created, that you raise up of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we acknowledge you as the head of this body. We are submitted as individual members. There is only one head of the Church of Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge you as God, as our Sovereign Lord, as High King of the Church of Jesus Christ. Blessed be your name. Amen. Last week we dealt with the power of regeneration. In the message last week, as I finished it, I left you looking at Saul in a state of blindness. Here this morning, by the time I finish, you're going to see that his eyes are wide open to great revelations given by God. Last week when we finished, we see Saul being led into Damascus blind and by the hand. By the end of this message, you're going to see him leading men to Jesus Christ. Last week when we finished, we seen him sitting alone in silence and isolation. But by the end of this message, we're going to see him standing publicly preaching Jesus Christ. Last week we seen him sitting in frailty and weakness, not even able to guide himself. But this week, by the time I'm finished, we're going to see him in great strength and victory in spirit. Last week he was saved. But this week, he'll be saved, sanctified, spirit-filled, and separated to the ministry of preaching Christ and him crucified. You see, what is the difference between what I preached last week and what I'm going to preach this week? What is it that makes a difference? He was a regenerate man where we left him last week. But the man I'm going to deal with here, where we're going to leave him today, he is a very different man. He was born again last week, but he's not the man I'm going to show you by the end of today. What happened between the end of last week's message and what will be the end of this message? What is it that makes the difference in this man called Saul of Tarsus? You see, there's certain things happen in all of our lives that move us from a certain place to another spiritual place. From sitting alone in a home on that street called Straight, sitting there blind with many questions in the mind, to moving you to a place where you have moved out boldly filled with the Spirit of God. Something happens in that short window of opportunity. Since we all need those seasons because it moves us, we all need those experiences. What am I saying happened in that short period of time? What is it that took Saul from a converted man, radically saved, to being on the high street preaching? Can I tell you this morning, and this is my message, the importance of the local church. You see, I believe in Acts chapter 9, the verses we've just read, the outstanding mark of it is Saul of Tarsus, who was regenerate. Only God can save a man. Only the Spirit of God can change a person's heart. Only the Spirit of God can turn you from being a persecutor to a witness who loves Jesus Christ. Only the Spirit of God can do that. But what is it that makes the difference here? I want to show you that one of the first things Christ done was to introduce Saul of Tarsus to a local church. This was of utmost importance. You see, there was a persecution against the church in the book of Acts. From the stoning of Stephen until the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, there was a short period of unbelievable persecution. Every Christian was under threat. Every believer was in danger of their very life. But after Saul's conversion, after he becomes a regenerate man, listen to what it says in here in Acts chapter 9 and 31. Then, after Saul's conversion, then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria. That's three large regions. Do you know what that tells me? Saul of Tarsus was the driving force behind the persecution of churches across many towns and many cities. He was the main instrument, the main vessel of persecution against the first revival and the first churches and the first leaders of the body of Christ. This was the man that most radically opposed it. And yet, let that man get saved. Let him meet with the living Christ. Yes. And you know what it says? That all the churches had rest and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. You see, I believe that after Saul's conversion, the most important thing we do see here is in being introduced to a thing called the church. He persecuted it. He saw it. He saw its preachers die. He persecuted the members of it. He had an effect upon it. And yet he never really knew what the body of Christ was or the local church. You see, I believe as he's on the way to Damascus, letter in hand, saying, I am going to destroy the church, every Christian in the city of Damascus. I am going to lead them to Jerusalem to be imprisoned. Do you know what was happening amongst the believers in Damascus? I believe they were praying. The church in Damascus was praying. Paul didn't know that, or Saul didn't know that. But that church says, that man is coming to imprison us, to persecute us. So they began to pray. But little could they have realized that very shortly he is going to join that church. He is going to become a member of that church. Can I warn you here this morning that maybe someone who attacks you violently, someone who hates you, someone who would want to destroy your testimony, may well get born again and join this church. And in fact, it could be vital for the future of Jesus Christ. It goes on in what we dealt with last week, when Christ dealt with Saul, the first thing he said to him was, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. He'd never met Jesus. He never heard the voice of Christ. He never seen the face of Jesus. But when Jesus said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know what he's saying? You touch Stephen. You touch those men and women. That's my church. When you touch the church, you have touched me. If you persecute it, you persecuted me. If you lie to it, you have lied to me. If you disturb it, you've disturbed me. If you divide it and cause disunity, you have done that to me. You know what Christ was beginning to reveal at the time of his conversion? I am the head, and there is a body on the earth. And you know what? I am joined to it. I feel what it feels. And he said, again, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You know what he's beginning to reveal to Saul? And on the day of his conversion, I have a church and you've been touching that church. But you know what? I'm going to make you a member of that church. I am here to change your life. The way you were, you wouldn't have fitted in here. You would have killed a lot of them. But when I finish with you, you're going to become a vital member of the body of Christ. Do you know what Saul responded? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now listen carefully. He has just met the living Christ, a resurrected Christ, heard his voice, seen his glory. He has been radically changed. He believes this is the Messiah now. He believes Jesus is risen from the dead. He didn't believe that before. But here he is, a regenerate, born again man. And you know what Christ says? What do you want me to do? You know what? At this moment, I'm not going to tell you. Here, the risen Christ revealed to you. I'm not going to tell you. I want you to go into the city. And I want you to wait there. And you know what? I am going to tell you, once you're there, what you must do. That's the first step. You know, there's people got saved in this city. They've never made the first step. They are regenerate, and they have never made the first step of going to the place where Christ can now lead them and show them what he wants to do. They're gazing into the sky saying, Lord, speak to me. And nothing is coming to them. They are sitting waiting. They're blind. They're alone. They're isolated. And they're in their house. And they're looking for something to happen. You need to make the first step. Here this morning, I do have a message for you. And it's going to involve a man called Ananias, a simple disciple. It says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Look at him, he's not an apostle, he's not a preacher, he's not a pastor, he's not a teacher. We're not even told he's an elder. We're told nothing about him. A certain disciple, which is at Damascus. Over in chapter 22, we read, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews that dwelt there. Do you know who Ananias was? He was from a Jewish family, a Jewish background. And you know what? As far as the Jews go, he was a devout man according to the law. According to the law of God. He was an upright, he was a righteous man, he was a holy man, but he was more than that. He was a born again man who knew Jesus. He was a member of a local church in the city of Damascus. Here tonight, or here this morning, it might be tonight by the time I'm finished, but here in this message, listen carefully, the importance of the local church. I have 8 simple things here in the text that we have just read that show the importance of the local church at Damascus to Saul of Tarsus after he was regenerate. God done the miracle in his heart. But the Lord says, I'm not going to speak to you. I'm going to send someone to you. And you've got to be in the right place for that. I want you to take the first step. Go into that city and wait on me. And you know how Christ is going to come to him next? He's going to come working in the members of his body. He has chosen lives. There are 8 things here that happen all, and 6 of them happen all in one day through one man, one member of the body of Christ. And 2 of them happen over a short period of time through the entire local church. This was vital for Saul. Let me give them to you, these 8 things here this morning. As we see the importance of the local church in the life of a new Christian, a new regenerate believer called Saul of Tarsus. Number 1, the sovereign supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about 9 supernatural gifts that are written about in 1 Corinthians 12 through to 14. And you know what? Those gifts are found in the local church, the local body, in the members of the local church. Look with me in chapter 9, verse 10. To him said the Lord in a vision, Jesus came unexpectedly to Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Look at this instantaneous. You know what? He's not surprised that Christ would show him a vision. He's not surprised that Jesus is alive. No, not at all. He's not surprised that Jesus would speak to him. But you know what? He's going to be very surprised at the message that Christ gives to him. Very, very surprised. Lord, here I am. And the Lord said unto him, arise, arise. God is actually meeting here with Ananias. In a vision, he comes to him and he says, I want you to get up and I want you to get out of your house and I want you to go to Saul of Tarsus. Well, Ananias had heard all about him. You know what? No way are you going to get Ananias going to visit Saul with the knowledge he has. He has heard from many that he's on his way to persecute. He goes, he's the greatest enemy of the body of Christ. He hates me. He'll kill me if he sees me. So what does the Lord do? The Lord has to bring a vision. Now what is a vision? A vision is not one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not. A dream is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is not. It's not one of the nine gifts. Do you know what a dream and a vision is? It is a means by which God can operate his gifts. All it is, a dream or a vision, is a means of communication. And so Jesus appears to Ananias. Jesus appeared. It wasn't just a vision. Jesus used the dream to speak to Ananias and to reveal factual information unto him. I believe it was actually a word of knowledge, not just a prophecy. The gifts of the Spirit were operating here. And he gave him facts. He gave him a street name. He gave him a house address. He told him who would be in that house. He gave the name Saul of Tarsus. Remember the guy you've heard about? Saul of Tarsus. And you know what? I'll tell you what he's doing. He is praying. And I'll tell you what else. He's blind. And I need you to go and lay hands on him so that he's going to see. I'm telling you his physical condition, his spiritual condition. I'm telling you the address he's at. And I'm telling you what I want you to do. Since it was in a vision. You know the difference between a dream and a vision? A dream is at night when you're asleep. A vision is when you're awake. You get a vision when you have all your faculties, your eyes are open, you're there in whatever situation, and you have a word from the Lord. I mean a vision. That is what a vision is. You're awake, all your faculties are there. What does he say? Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. It's still there today in Damascus. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Do you see what happened here? Not only did God give this vision to Ananias, but in the vision he says, you know what, I've given Saul a vision as well. And I've told Saul your name. And I've told him what you're going to do, that you're going to come to him, and that you're going to pray for him, lay hands on him, and his eyes are going to be open. So look at this, you have a new Christian, say 3 days, who has never been in the local church, never been a member of a church, and there he is in darkness and blindness, and he's all alone with all of his thoughts, but his life has changed, and Christ gives him a vision, says, Saul, don't worry, this is the next step, I'm sending a man to you. Why do you think Christ didn't heal him? Why do you think Christ didn't just baptize him in the Holy Ghost? Why don't you just think that Christ done everything? You know why? Christ has a body, a church, members that he actually works through. So here are two visions. Why did he give two visions? One to Saul, saying he's coming and he's going to pray for you. And why did he give it to Ananias and saying, look, I want you to do this. Here he is. And you know what? I've given him a vision saying what you're going to do. So Christ arranged it on both sides and he's trying to bring the happy couple together somewhere in the middle. You see, why does Christ give two visions? To confirm it, to verify it, to make sure that both of their hearts are settled, to establish it. Do you know when you know this is real, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when they're supernatural, and you know nobody could have planned this, no man could do this, no man could possibly arrange this, it's got to be Christ. Do you know the confidence that brings? Saints, I'm telling you, this is Saul's first encounter with the real body of Christ. He is going to find out the gifts of the Spirit are real. When Christ gives a word of knowledge, it is very, very real. Ananias was neither surprised about the vision or Christ speaking, but he was about the message. Master, he persecuted the church. Don't you know? God had to show this vision to him to settle his heart. You realize that God uses gifts to settle your heart so that you'll have confidence God is in this. It's not me. It's not my imagination. I am being led by the Spirit of God. Some of you here will not do certain things unless God speaks to you. Unless he operates through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You see, Christ was commanding him to go and do this. But he's a human being. He is a normal guy with fears and prejudice and concerns. Oh, if I have all these fears and worries, God could never use me in the gifts of the Spirit. God could never give me a vision because I've got doubts and concerns. Ananias was terrified hearing this. Oh Lord, not me. Please, not today. Lord, please not this man. The greatest enemy of the church, and you want me to go to him? Do you realize he's using a clay vessel? A man with normal feelings and normal thoughts who's going, hold on, you're telling me this supernatural revelation. You're giving me all these facts. Lord, there's some things you don't know. You really don't know. You're making a big mistake here. Saints, I'm telling you, the gifts operate through flesh and blood. Saul of Tarsus is just about to find himself caught up into a dimension. This doesn't happen amongst Pharisees. It didn't happen in the temple in Jerusalem. Here are normal men and women receiving divine revelation to bring about the will of God and the purpose of God. Can I remind you who this new convert is? He's only saved 3 days. He's regenerate. But you know what? He is the one who's going to write 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through to chapter 14. He's going to be the one who writes more on the gifts of the Holy Spirit than any man in church history. He is the man that's going to teach the church about the gifts. But that wasn't the start of the gifts. The gifts were already all operating way before Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How was Ananias and Saul to know that this was God? You cannot afford to be wrong if you're Ananias. I do not want to be going knocking on the door, on that door saying, hey, is Saul of Tarsus there? I'm a Christian. I'm a local believer. I'm your welcoming party. You don't want to make a mistake. You know what I believe? There is an assurance with the real gifts of the Spirit. There is such, either it's radically wrong or it's radically right. There is no in between. And that's something remarkable. The gifts of the Spirit are supernatural. He will be at that address. He will be in a state of blindness. His heart will be open. He is going to get healed when I go on to him. You can have that assurance when it's the real gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that these gifts had to be supernatural to introduce Paul to the body of Christ? Look, could Christ have done all this out on the road? Yes, he could have. But he says, you know what? I want you to go into the city and then I'm going to start my work through normal members of the body. That's the first thing. Sovereign, supernatural gifts. When you come into the local church, there is a realm in the church where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are revealed. Saints, they may not always operate when we think they should operate, but I assure you, I can give hundreds of testimonies of the genuine operation of the gift that operated at the right time when I needed it. Thank God. Even here, we read about healing as well. Maybe the gift of healing was in operation. But secondly, brotherly love. This new three-day Christian, Saul of Tarsus, with a radical conversion, is introduced to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in verse 17. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands upon him, said, Brother Saul. What a dynamite statement. Brother Saul, you better be sure about that. Then over in chapter 22, verse 13, and it says again, Paul testifying, he came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul. Do you realize Paul never forgot that sentence? Brother Saul. It is the first time Saul is ever being called brother. by another Christian. He'd never heard that before. Here is a stranger that he's only seen in a vision, and he's standing and he's put his hands on him and he says, "Brother Saul, Brother Saul." Do you know the word brother means to be birthed out of the same womb? It means we come from the same source. We've had the same experience. We are family now. Can you imagine Saul at Tarsus, say 3 days, and you're laying hands on him and saying, "Brother, brother, I love you. I love you." You see, Saul was introduced to the love of God in this house. Christ had prepared him. "I'm sending a real brother to you. I'm sending someone to you that's going to embrace you." You know where he was when Ananias came in? He was blind. He was alone. He was quiet. He was waiting. He desperately needed the local body. He desperately needed real Christians. He desperately needed someone to stretch out their hand and say, "Brother, brother Saul." Saints, be very careful with the love of God in your heart towards those that we meet along the way. And laying hands on them, it meant acceptance, reception, and the blessing of God. He was now a part of the family of God with a common identity. With a common identity. Saints, the local church is where new Christians experience the love of God. Remember what Brother Soup ministered there the other week and may continue with. Is this love of God? Where is it written about? Where did Brother Soup turn to when he wanted to preach on love, charity, love in action? Where did he turn to? He turned to 1 Corinthians 13 and he began to read that beautiful chapter about charity, the love of God in action. Who was it wrote that? It was a man who's sitting in darkness and blindness with all of his thoughts, had someone come and say, "Brother Saul." Do you realize he never forgot that? The first time a Christian said, "You are my brother because you met Christ and I met Christ," and that makes us family. This is a miracle. It is a remarkable thing. You know, a little bit later, 3 years later, we read about Saul going up to Jerusalem. And remember what Ananias said here. When the Lord says, "I want you to go to him," what did he say? "No way. This man is after me." Do you realize if the love of God had not conquered that, he would never have gone near Saul. He wouldn't have tried to hand him a tract on the high street, would you guys? Hey, there's Saul of Tarsus. As Soph tries to grab Rory. No, no, not him. No, Rory goes charging saying, "I'll give him a gospel tract," as Soph tries to hide behind the street bin or something else. Saints, it is real what happens. Ananias was scared of Saul of Tarsus, but the love of God overcame. It was a very, very real thing. But look at verse 26. "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem," he is 3 years later, "he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." Ananias didn't initially believe it. The church at Jerusalem with its 12 apostles didn't believe it. They were scared. So what did God do in Damascus? He had to have an Ananias who had love in his heart, who says, "I believe he's been changed." And the church in Jerusalem, there had to be a Barnabas. Remember, it was Barnabas who no one believed it. But Barnabas said, "I believe you've been changed." And he brought Saul to the apostles and they said, "You're changed, you're born again." "Yes, yes I am." You see, the Bible says in Galatians 5 and 6, "Faith which worketh by love." Do you realize you need faith before that love operates? You see, how could he, if he didn't have faith to believe he's been changed, why would he go and show him love? You see, you've got to have faith. Out of real faith comes a real love towards those who don't deserve it. I'm telling you, this is what you find in the body of Christ. Brotherly love. Acceptance. Saints, we may be scared at times. We may fail in our love. But we must manifest the real brotherly love to every soul that comes in that door. Third of all, divine healing. I'm talking about a convert of 3 days who he's discovering gifts are real. These gifts are supernatural. This love is real. I've been brought right in. Man, I wonder what he done about his letter that was given by the high priest that says, there's your authority. Go and kill the Christians in Damascus. Go and imprison them. Here's soldiers to take with you. I wonder what he done. Did it drop in the fireplace the day of his conversion? Or maybe when he's getting baptized in water, it just floated down the river. I don't know. I really don't know. But this third point, divine healing. He had never experienced healing before. Never seen anyone healed before. He'd heard that the false Messiah healed people, but he never experienced it. But he is in the body of Christ. He is being brought right into a real church. Verse 17, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight. And then in verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith. It was Ananias laying hands on him that brought that healing. Christ said, I want you to go and do it. Christ had also said to Saul, I'm going to do this for you. Here, as hands are laid on, his eyes are healed. There is a miracle of healing. Do you realize Saul, later, as Paul the Apostle writes about healing and the gifts of healing and all of the various things that happen. But do you know where it began? It began with him having his own eyes healed. This is the third thing. Do you realize there's gifts of healing in the church? Not just one gift, many gifts. There's also the prayer of faith to be prayed by the elders with the anointing of oil for those who are sick. It's not my job to go to you when you're sick. You are to call for the elders to anoint with oil. The healing is the children's bread. Why didn't Christ heal him out on the road to Damascus? Outside the city. Why did Christ not heal him? He had the power to. He could answer Saul's prayers. For 3 days he must have said, Lord, will you heal me? Very shortly I will, but I'll send someone who's going to pray for you and lay hands on you. Do you know Christ chooses to use men and women? I can't heal. Neither can you heal. Amen. But Christ actually chooses to use normal men and women, a member of the body of Christ. Do you know what Christ is showing Saul? There is a body that you're to be reliant upon. Fourth of all, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, verse 17, and the Lord even Jesus has sent me that thou mightest be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Since he not only got healed on this day, he not only had an experience of the love of God and of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as the hands are still upon him, he is about to get filled with the Holy Spirit. 3 days before, he got born again. To be born again or have the Spirit live in you is different than being filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled means you're so full, nothing else can get in there. You know what it means to be filled? That you're filled to capacity. You're actually full of the Holy Spirit of God. You go, I've got no room for anger. I've got no room for bitterness. God has poured in his Holy Spirit to me. I mean, I am overflowing with the Holy Spirit. There is an experience where the Holy Spirit not only indwells you, but he comes to fill you. You see, Saul had already met Christ. He was born again. He was already changed. He was going in a different direction. He was already called a brother as a member of the body of Christ. He's already been healed, but he has never, ever been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Can I ask you this morning, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit of God? He was already a part of the body, but had not experienced this dynamic work on the third day. You have this all through the book of Acts. Look in Acts chapter 2. You have 120 believers, men, women, children, they're all regenerate. They're washed in the blood. They're actually in communion with God, but they have never been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But in Acts chapter 2, that's what happens. They love Jesus. They're in a prayer meeting. They're walking with God. But they get filled with the Holy Spirit of God and speak in tongues. What about in Samaria in Acts chapter 8? We read of Philip the evangelist. He leads thousands of them to the Lord. They're born again. The joy of God is there. Miracles of healing. Surely they must have everything. Oh no, there's more. There is more. Philip the evangelist seen the entire city stirred for God. But there's more. It says the church in Jerusalem sent down Peter and John to lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because none of them in that community had received the Spirit yet. They were born again. They had the joy of God. They were seeing miracles, but they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you know what happened? When Peter and John came down and began to lay hands on them, as the hands were laid on them, instantly, they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Or what about in Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11 in Cornelius's house? Peter is sent there. Remember, an angel spoke to Cornelius, "Send for Peter. He's going to preach to you." So he sends messengers. What happens just before? Peter has a vision. He's wide awake. It's during the day. He has a vision. Three men are coming to your house today. I want you to go with them. And I want you to, they're Gentiles. Oh no, master, I won't go with them. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. See why the gifts operate. Some of you are so prejudiced. Some of you have prejudice, and me, I'm sure. We have prejudice we don't little realize. There, it could take a work of the Spirit of God to get you to go to someone with the gospel. You say, I can't go there. I can't go to their house. Why not? Why not? Maybe the Lord will give you a vision or a dream and say, I want you to go with them. No, Lord, you don't understand. I want you to go with them. You see, it's very, very real. And we know that when Peter went to Cornelius's house, they believed the gospel and the Holy Spirit's poured out and they're filled with the Spirit. Or what about in Acts chapter 19? We read about 12 disciples who have been followers of John the Baptist's message. They believe, but they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. As Saul or Paul lays hands on them, they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. What happened to Saul here? He had a real experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He didn't get it out on the highway. It wasn't Christ personally done that. Christ operated through the body, through the church. Saints, I'm not confining it to that. We know that Paul, Brother Paul, was at home 9:30 at night. I'll never forget it. I spoke to him in the morning. He said, Brother Keith, I'm trying to be filled. I'm saved 3 years, whatever it was. I'm praying. Everyone's prayed for me. I just smiled at him and said, just receive, brother, receive. I went home, had my dinner. My heart smote me and I went, Candace, I felt so bad. I went, I've left. He got more frustrated. His face when I said, just receive. Brother, it's easy. Just receive. And he went away cringing. My heart smote me. Do you know, I re-felt the Lord said, go to your bookshelf. Get that little booklet. Give it to him tonight. I re-felt it was the Lord. I went to him, give Brother Paul the little booklet. Receive without tarrying, without waiting. Just receive. I give it to him, says, I really believe the Lord wants you to read this. He's been trying to get filled. Everyone had laid hands on him. Nothing had happened. Well, that night about 9:30 at night, I got a text. I'd just been filled with the Holy Spirit of God here in my house. The Spirit of God filled me. Saints, you don't need a person there, but we are the body of Christ. Healing is in the midst of God's people. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. But there's also more. Point five, the call of God. The call of God. This all happens on the same day. It's remarkable. In verse 15, as Ananias is standing there, look what the Lord said to him. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He hasn't gone to see him yet. And the Lord says, I want to tell you, he's a chosen vessel. He is an elect vessel, an elect instrument in my hand. He's not just someone passing through. I have chosen him. He is a vessel I'm going to use. And you know what? I'm going to send him to many kings. This won't happen for at least begin to happen for another 10 to 15 years. Now, all these years he's going to pass through. This is before Ananias goes in the house. Do you know there's a great call on this young convert? He's only saved 3 days. And I'm telling you, he's a chosen vessel to preach to kings. And not only the Jews, to go and preach to Gentile nations. This is a chosen call vessel who's going to be used in the kingdom of God. God revealed that. Do you know God can reveal that? You know, I was in a church and ministry once, and it was very strange. For a period of 6 years, anyone who walked through the door that was going to join that ministry, instantly I knew it. I mean, over a 6 year period, without fail, there wasn't one person I thought would join who didn't. And there wasn't one person who joined who I thought wouldn't. And I mean, I don't know that, but for 6 years, that happened without fail, that there was a knowledge of that. I don't know how, but it was amazing to watch the reality of that. God, or Christ, revealed to Ananias the calling on this young convert, only 3 days saved. But then over in chapter 22, listen to what it says. And he, Ananias, said, speaking to Saul on that day, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see the just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men. As he's there laying hands, he's been healed. He's been filled with the Spirit. And now with his hands still on him, he has said, God has chosen you. God has chosen you. Do you think this was news that Saul didn't know? Do you think this convert of 3 days didn't know he was a chosen vessel? Listen again to what it says in chapter 26. Remember, there's 3 stories of this. Chapter 26, verse 15. And I said, who art thou, Lord? This is Saul's conversion on the road when he's getting regenerate. And he, that is Christ, said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen and of the things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Do you realize the call of God is revealed in the church? Do you realize that the call of God to preach, to minister, to be a chosen vessel is upon your life? God will use the church to confirm that. He will literally use it. You see, it was Christ who called Saul on the day he was saved. He said, you're a chosen vessel. I'm going to show you. I'm going to use you. That doesn't always happen, but it did with Saul. On the day he was born again, you're going to preach this gospel one of these days. 3 days later, as Ananias comes in, he says, do you know you're a chosen vessel? Christ, the same one who met with you, has shown me that you're a chosen vessel. What confirmation? Do you realize that in the life of Saul of Tarsus, the church in Damascus as well as Antioch was used for his calling, his preparation, his commissioning, his separation, and his sending out to the mission field? Saints, I'm showing you all these things in the local body. 6 of them happened all on the same day, but 2 of them would happen over the next period. Number 6 in verse 18, and it says, he that is Saul arose and was baptized. It's talking about being baptized in water. 3 days later, when Ananias is there, he gets up and goes and gets baptized in water. Over in chapter 22, verse 14, and it says, and this is Ananias speaking to him after his healing, after being filled with the Spirit, after receiving the call of God. He actually says to him, and now why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Do you hear me? You've been filled with the Spirit, you've been healed, you're regenerate, you're born again, and you know you're born again, and you know Christ is real and alive. What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know what Ananias said? Hey, get up. Let's go get you baptized in water. I don't know whether they used the bath, the pool outside, or the river down the road. I just don't know. I wonder if they gathered the other disciples locally. But they said, hey, Bojo, get up. Let's go baptize you in water. Notice in our day, there's a lot of things lacking before water baptism, but not in the Bible. True baptism only comes after you've repented, you put faith in the blood of Christ, you've separated yourself from sin, and it's the response of a good conscience saying, I know I'm born again. I know that I'm regenerate. I've seen a lot of people go through waters of baptism claiming a lot. They've never stopped their sin. They're still living out in that world. You see, this is the man who would later write Romans chapter 6, the spiritual meaning of water baptism. And yet here he is, a certain normal disciple is putting him down into the water. I baptize you into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many years later, he's going to write on this. He's going to impact the churches. But here he is submitting to water baptism. He had already met Christ, been changed, called a brother, healed, filled with the Spirit. But now he was commanded, urged, instructed to rise up and to go be baptized in water. Have you been baptized in water since you were regenerate? Since you've been born again? Have you responded with a good conscience to be baptized in water? Number 7. Just give me a couple of minutes and I'll finish. Verse 19, discipleship. These next two things happened over a very short period of time. Verse 19, and when he, that is Saul, had received meat, he'd been fasting for 3 days. I assure you, if some people only fasted, we'd see more healing, more fillings of the Spirit, more calls of God after 3 days of prayer and fasting. Saul of Tarsus had not touched food or water for 3 entire days. He's there alone. He's in blindness. But it says after all this happens on that 3rd day, and when he had received meat, now you know you're a Christian disciple. You're sitting with other believers and you're eating. And it goes on to say, he was strengthened. You know, after a time of fasting, come aside and be strengthened again. Saul now entered into fellowship, not just with Ananias. He is part of the local church here in Damascus. This is a remarkable thing. He joined the local church that he came to destroy. He had a letter to persecute them. He had anger, venom, and hatred. And now he is being received in by the love of Christ. He is eaten with them. He is being strengthened in the midst of them. And it says, then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. What is a disciple? The word disciple means a taught one, a learner. Someone whose whole heart says, I want to learn. I want to become like Jesus. I want to learn the Word of God. I want to know how to conduct myself in the church. Do you realize Saul became a disciple in the midst of other disciples? It wasn't a 10-week course. It wasn't a little book. It wasn't an online video course. It was none of those. It was dwelling amongst real, genuine believers. This is spiritual growth. Don't tell me someone can be a Christian in this city and not a member of the body of Christ. Then I tell you what, Saul made a mess of it. I assure you, if Saul, a new convert, he was a theologian, he was a radically dedicated man. I mean, he was sold out. He was really born again in a vision of Christ, but he needed to be a member of the local church. He needed to experience all these things in the local body. He had to serve as a disciple. If he's in Damascus, he's part of that church in Damascus. If he's in Jerusalem, he's a part of that church in Jerusalem. If he's in Antioch, he's a member of the body of Antioch. He never functioned apart from that local church. But let me finish here on my last point, 8 points, I said, concerning the importance of the local church. Verse 20, evangelism. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. When? Straight away. He is born again. He's been healed. He's been received into a local church. He is a disciple. He's been filled with the Spirit. He's received the call of God. Straightway. Where did he do it? Out by himself? No, in a local body, in a community. He straightway preached Christ in the synagogue. They went down to the local synagogue and he began to preach that Christ was the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed. Do you know, when you get saved, don't lose the moment. Do you know there's people who have known you for years and watched you? Now is a good time to tell them, I got born again. I'm changed. You, give it 7 days. Fine. I'll take up the bet. Do you know people who knew Saul, knew why he was there, knew his character, knew his commission? They were amazed. Can you imagine the local synagogue? Hey Hannah, guess who's preaching on Saturday, the Sabbath? Guess who's coming? Who? Saul of Tarsus from Jerusalem. What's he going to do? He's going to preach and then lead the crusade against the false teachers in the city. Man, I can't wait. With glee. And then he gets there and he stands up. Man, he's going to give it to them. He's going to rip apart this Jesus of Nazareth. And he stands up and he says, on the basis of God's word, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the promised Messiah. Can you imagine the amazement? The word amazed there means they're awestruck. Their jaw hits the ground. They are in shock. Their mind is confused. They're dumbfounded. They can't believe this. Saints, the power of a new convert who's really met Christ. You don't need all the arguments. Saul didn't have all of them. But he does know Jesus is the Son of God. And what did they say? Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And came he not here with this intent that he might bring them bound to the unto the chief priests in Jerusalem? And it says, but Saul increased more in strength. That means dynamic power or better ability. This 8th and last point is Saul first stepped out to evangelize, to tell men about Christ, to prove from the written scriptures. It says that he was proving that this is the very Christ, and he confounded the Jews. He knew all their arguments. He used to use all their arguments. He used to write out the best arguments against Christ. Now he is proving, I can prove it to you. I can show you. I can stop your argument. I've got an answer for you. And you know what? They were utterly confounded. They were utterly confounded. Evangelism, and listen this as I close. I'm allowed 3 closes. Evangelism is never separated from the local church. Those who go on the high street saying, I'm born again, I can go preach, and I don't need to be a member of the local church. You're utterly deceived. And it never happened in the Bible. Not with a Saul of Tarsus, a holy, spirit-filled, dynamically saved man. You know what? It was in the context of the disciples in Damascus. Never separate evangelism from the local church. We're not looking for converts. We're looking for disciples. You say, what's the difference? There's a big difference. A convert, go out, say a prayer after me. There, you're a convert. That is not a disciple. Someone learning, growing, walking with Jesus Christ. Would you leave a baby on the doorstep? There, it's got life. It's a human. It's got 2 eyes. It's definitely got a mouth. And it's absolutely got a belly. It's got 2 little legs. And it's got 2 little arms. All its toes and all its fingers are there. Just leave it. It's as much as human as you or I. I mean, what's it lacking? Just leave it on the doorstep and let it make its own choices. Make its own way. I don't want to force food on it when it doesn't want it. Saints, that is as ridiculous as to say that Saul, 3 days born again, can be left to make alone because all he needs is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's how foolish it is. Here this morning, I'm preaching on the importance of the local church. I told you, I'd bring it from last week. Saul sitting in a room alone, blind, alone, isolated, lost his occupation. Boom, it blew up. Lost his comrades that were with him. Where did they go? He's lost his old friends in Jerusalem. I'll never walk back into that high priest again. I'll never be able to look him in the eye again after this. I've been born again. How does he get from there to standing in a city, proclaiming and proving Jesus Christ? For a short period of time, there was a local church made up of simple disciples who knew the reality of Christ and they knew the love of God. And once they are convinced that he was a convert, they said, Brother Saul, stand with me this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, we exalt you. We glorify you. Oh, we bless you. We need you, O God. We need you, O God. We need you in our midst, O God. My Savior, my Savior, my Savior. Oh, Rabba Sandara Makoria Takiara Masianda. Oh, Rabba Kiara Basiara Makianda. Oh, Rabba Siara Makoria Takiara Masianda. My God, my God, my God. My God, do you know, never be scared if the Lord prompts you, go pray for someone. Never be scared. Do you know, just there around the Lord say, but I felt such an urge to go pray for Rory. Okay, I don't know what happens. I'd hate to miss out. I'd want to bless my brother, want to pray for him. But I feel an urge. I don't do that often at the Lord's table. But you know what? I'd hate to miss the Lord. Can it be you, Keith? Maybe. Then it's just love. Can't go wrong to go pray for my brother. But I'd hate to miss Christ. If that was Christ urging me to go, I'd hate to miss that. When I was 15 years old, being filled with the Spirit 2 years before, and I got very dry, empty. I'd been filled. I mean, I got mightily filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 13. But we're leaking vessels. One Saturday, I'm listening to these two old audio cassettes. Some of you guys don't even know what they are. My little personal stereo. And I'm sunbathing outside. You see, listening holiness messages, sunbathing outside, yeah. And I'm lying there and I'm praying, longing. Oh God, I'm so hungry. I so need you. Just like that. Suddenly I had a vision of the following Wednesday night. Clear as day. I mean, it's Saturday. And I'm there, 15 years old, a clear vision of the following Sunday night, following Wednesday night, and of two men in our house meeting, just a small group, 10 people, and of them, and in this vision, I see, I'm looking at them and their two smiling faces, the two guys, and they pray for me and I'm refilled. I knew it was going to happen, I knew, I had no doubts. Sunday, there's 350 people getting healed. It doesn't mean end to me. I can't wait to Wednesday night with the 10 folk in the room. I know what's going to happen. In fact, I could have done without going Sunday. I'm just looking towards Wednesday night because I know what's going to happen. I just knew it. And I'm there with my eyes closed. And everyone's praying. I'm 15 years old. Everyone's praying, worshipping. And I could feel them walk to me. These two guys, I could feel it. I knew they're walking towards me. I opened my eyes and their two faces like in the vision. I said, I know I'm about to be filled. And they said, we want to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. I laid hands on me and filled. I was filled to overflow. I just wept and wept as rivers flowed out of me. Saints, this is an environment. I know we don't look like much. I know that. But this is real. This is the house of God. This is the body of Christ. We are the body of Jesus Christ. Let his Spirit fall on us. Once again, let's sing this as we close this gathering this morning. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus.
Holy Father. Let your Spirit.
pray for Paul and Sophia here this morning, just as we close. Father, we do pray for Sophia. Lord God, just heal her hand. Just restore that little finger. My God, we pray for a quick healing of her finger in Jesus' name. Just restore it. Make it whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Just settle her, O God. Let her mind and her body be at rest, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. And just for our brother Paul, Lord God, just quicken him, O God. Just touch him and heal him, my God. Even cause him to shake this thing off in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name.